And take your Bibles, turn to Revelation. And chapter 4, Revelation chapter 4. We are on lesson number 13, the ascension of a saint. And if you need lesson 13, raise your hand. We should finish up lesson 13 today. Phyllis needs it way up here. Good for you to get your exercise, Brother Collins. All right, the ascension of a saint. We are starting the section 3, I call it, which includes Revelation chapters 4 and 5, the ability of the Lamb to open the book. And then this portion, the ascension of a saint. We're studying Revelation 1 and 2a, the first part of verse 2, so just a small portion. And I have called this the hint of the rapture, the just a little bit of a hint God gives us of something that is what we're looking forward to, at least I am, and it is the rapture of the church, the snatching away of the saints, the taking the saints up to be with the Lord prior to the tribulation. The rapture, of course, begins the seven-year tribulation and tribulation here on this earth that we will miss out on. And that is on purpose, I believe, which we talked about last week. And so, again, we have this little hint of the rapture with John here, who is in the present tense, and he has just received the teaching, the letters of Revelation 2 and 3 about the seven churches, and then all of a sudden, he's caught up to heaven, and he's, again, no mention then of the churches until chapter 19. And again, I believe this is a hint of the rapture taking place. So our memory verse is a verse that reflects that, 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. Let's go ahead and say that together. And as always, we'll say the reference, the verse, and then the reference, and begin. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And again, 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Thank you, Father, for the Word of God that we can study in our Sunday school class. I thank you for all the classes going on our property that, Lord, the Word of God is being taught. People are hearing it. It's exciting to think some will hear for the very first time the words that you have provided for us to hear. And I pray you use it in our lives as well as every life that is hearing it today, and that you'll speak to our hearts, give us exactly what we need. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The words in verse 1, come up hither, are the reason that I look at this as a type of the rapture. Again, it is as if, and we could say this, that John, by definition of our word rapture, John was raptured to heaven, and so, again, rapture means to transport from one place to another, and so we just have a little hint here that we've been talking about. So number one was a type of the rapture, and of course, the Bible does give Old Testament examples of Enoch, Elijah, and then number two, we saw the time of removal. It was after dealing with the seven churches by letters. And so I gave you 4 points about that, why we're removed, why the rapture takes place. I think the scripture shows these 4 things. Number one, to prepare us, and we are the army riding back with Jesus when he comes, which, by the way, is what we refer to as the second coming of Christ, and we are the army. We're part of that, and so to prepare us, we go through the judgment seat, the bema seat of Christ, during the 7 years the earth is going through the tribulation. And then secondly, to present us a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. The marriage supper of the Lamb also takes place. There will be the judgment seat of Christ in heaven. There will be the marriage supper of the Lamb in heaven. And so to prepare us, to present us. And then the third reason is to protect us. We are taken out before the tribulation takes place, before just an unbelievable series of events in the world that man has never seen anything like it, and it will take place, and we're removed. We are not to experience the wrath of God, though the whole world will, and certainly the tribulation is, as we studied in Daniel, it is God's wrath poured out on his people, the Jews, and it will be unbelievable. But anybody living on this earth will go through great, great tribulation. And again, we have the example of Enoch being removed before the flood. We had Lot, who God said he could get out of Sodom and Gomorrah before it rained fire and brimstone. So again, to protect us. And then the fourth reason that we would be removed is to promote the tribulation. To me, one of the worst things about the tribulation is the fact that the Christians are not here. We can be criticized. We are, people love to get rid of us. They think, truth of the matter is, you get rid of us, you get rid of the influence of the Holy Spirit of God in this world, and it is going to be total chaos. I mean, God, obviously, his wrath is being poured out, but man's way will be unchecked because the Holy Spirit dwells within us, and that influence will be gone. You can see that in our world today more and more, because I believe that there are, more and more lost people by far, and we know that there always has been, but influence wise, Christians, that's why you shouldn't be silent. That's why you should speak up. That's why all of us should speak up. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the words that are truth, and if the world can continue to promote their stuff and wickedness and garbage, and we say nothing, we get an idea of what the tribulation is going to be like. And we do have an election coming up. I thought I'd remind you where you can speak. Amen. Your vote is a way of speaking. It is a privilege not offered to all people in this world, but it is offered to us, and we need to make sure we speak. But imagine during the tribulation, there will be no Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean there won't be decent people and people that, by and large, make more moral-type decisions. I'm not saying that, but the influence of the Holy Spirit is different than just being a decent person. It is to tap into the mind of Christ, and we can do that. We have the mind of Christ, the Bible says. So, again, all of that will take place. The tribulation, again, will be made far, far worse by the fact there will be no Christians here. We'll be taken out during the rapture. So, we come to Roman numeral 3, and that is the testimony of the righteous. And we have John saying, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." And that is I call that the testimony of the righteous. We're back to John telling what he sees, what he hears, and what he does. And he's back to a narrative of letting us know what's going on. Remember, we started with that whenever it was we started, and that's been a while. But the idea that John said, "I saw all this. I'm recording what I'm seeing, what I'm hearing, and what I'm doing." And so we go back to that now. Again, we've just finished the letters to the seven churches, and so we did not have a narrative of John what he sees, what he hears, what he does. But now we go back to that, and chapter 4 starts that. And so I just kind of broke that down and do capital A, I looked, capital B, I listened, and capital C, I left. And that's exactly what takes place with John. So he looked, the Bible says. And behold, by the way, when the Bible says behold, that means behold. It's an amazing thing. He says there's a door was opened in heaven. I mean, he looks up and a door was opened in heaven. And boy, that's an exciting thing. I was thinking about this, and of course, we would ask you to pray for Carol Stewart and her family, the death of her father. Went to be with the Lord the other day. And was he 98, Carol? 98 years old. But Dale was telling me about that. And previous to him going to heaven, he looked up and he said, I see Jesus. And I don't doubt that at all. I have no doubt. I've been with many people before they go to heaven. And people that are saved, I've never known one to have a bad experience. And I've heard those words before. I've heard, I see angels. I've heard, I see, and there's somebody they mentioned from the past, a saint, a mom, a dad, a grandma, a grandpa. You know, none of that surprises me. And I have heard the words, I see a door. And that's an exciting thought. But the door is open. Amen. All right. I mean, it's what a blessing. The door's open. You know, for the Christian, the door's open. It's open because Jesus is the door. And he died on the cross to pay for our sin. And because of that, the door's open. And so John looks and the door's opened in heaven. And praise the Lord for that. And so the whole idea here is, again, this hint. Well, if John looks in the door, now I don't know if when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel, and I don't know that we're necessarily going to look up and see a door, but why not? It's going to happen in a twinkle of an eye, so don't know anything about that. But again, the idea is the door's open. And in the rapture, Jesus comes for us. In his second coming, 7 years later, he comes with us. There's a big difference there. And we're called up to him in the rapture, and we are with him and come down with him in the second coming. But it is an open door to enter. It is an open door as far as the rapture is concerned, and it is an open door to depart from as far as the second coming is concerned. These are two totally different events in our lives and separated by 7 years. And so let's understand. So he looked, he said, and this is exactly what he saw, this open door. Capital B, he listened. He said, I listened. And so obviously when the spirit leaves the body, and I want you to get this, because again, it's part of that little hint of the rapture, when the spirit leaves the body, which is exactly what happened with John here, or he said he was in the spirit, is what it says in verse 2. Immediately there is a he can see, and we'll see that as chapter 4 goes on, but he also can hear. And so all of this taking place, there is a seeing, there is a hearing. Later on he'll speak, there's a doing. Very, very clearly there is life after death, and there is life with the Lord. No doubt about that. And so he said, I listened, and there was a trumpet. And it says, behold, a door was open in heaven. The first voice which I heard, which we already talked about earlier, the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me. And so there's a trumpet, and that's always interesting. Trumpets are very important in the Bible and very important in the Old Testament, as well as some verses. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verses in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. He heard a voice of a trumpet. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 52. Bible says in reference, well, verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And here it is again, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. So the dead are raised incorruptible with their new body. We'll be changed to have that new body. Praise God. I mean, but that's with the trumpet. Our memory verse, 1 Thessalonians, go ahead and go there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. You cannot ignore this trumpet. You can't just pretend that that's not there. It is significant. It is very, very important. And don't read this and just say, oh, well, you know, the voice sounded like a trumpet. Words mean things, and when God says something, it means something. Every time, you don't dismiss it. Don't think it's no big deal. So, again, John is describing things. There is a voice. It is a trumpeting kind of a voice, and it is very significant that it's a trumpet. In the Old Testament, a trumpet was used for a lot of things, but one thing specifically, it was used for battle. A trumpet was always used, and there are verses as we studied Nehemiah as they dealt with building the wall and enemy was assembling around the city. The trumpet would sound and would give forth sounds that would direct the soldiers to a portion of the wall or to a duty or something. Certainly, sound the battle cry. We sing many songs in reference to battle and how people would be led into battle in those days. Again, we're talking about days before there were walkie-talkies and cute little earphone things that go in the ear and you can direct everybody everywhere. This was the trumpet sound, and it was used for battle. It was used to assemble. Assemble to worship. Assemble. We read in the Old Testament. If you read through the Old Testament, many of the references are to a trumpet assembling the people. Again, the Jews, for example, as you think of the tribes scattered out over the land, and to get them to assemble and announce the different things they had to learn, the trumpet would be used to do that. And so with the rapture, both things are true. And please don't miss it, because again, every little nugget you get out of the Word of God it should be a blessing to you. And the rapture, there is a battle, certainly, that is going to take place. There is a battle that is being announced when the trumpet sounds. And secondly, there is an assembly to worship. The assembly of Christians is assembling. And the church is assembling. It is why we are called a church, because we assemble. That's what ecclesia means, a called out assembly. And when the rapture takes place, we are called to assemble with the Lord. And yet it is also a trumpet sound that is battle. And in my mind, I believe with all my heart the angels stand ready for that trumpet to sound. I believe that the angels are ready, and we'll get to that in a minute. But let me just explain something. The war that is going to take place. Understand, Satan, by God's design, God has allowed Satan to be the ruler of the world. He has allowed that. Let's look at some verses. John 14, verse 30. John chapter 14 and verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Jesus here talking to his disciples, but he refers to Satan, the prince of this world. And again, it should not shock us that the majority of this world, the majority of people, are lost people. The prince of this world is Satan himself. Ephesians 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. It says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The armor of God is armor so we can fight a spiritual battle, because there is a spiritual battle going on. This is going on right here, right now. Who knows how much, and I started to say bloodshed, but it's it's not that term, but who knows the battle to open our doors today? Why? This is Satan's turf all around us. God has allowed him to be over this world. And just to open our doors today, just to get the buses rolling down the highway, you know, the battle that takes place, it's phenomenal when you really think about it. To get you up out of bed today, to get you to Sunday school. Bus kids, getting them to Sunday school today. Imagine, you know, imagine the battle that took place. Angels, demons. It's an amazing, invisible war that has taken place all around us. And I'll be honest with you, you know, we can only imagine it. But it is taking place even now. It takes place in the pews while the preacher's preaching. It takes place in Sunday school classes while the children are listening and you know, they're dozing off and wanting to whisper. And, you know, I mean, a battle's going on all around. It's just an amazing battle. And 1 John 5:19. 1 John 5:19, it says, "We know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And so now, as you recognize this whole world, okay, and Satan having dominion, it is his dominion. Okay, I read this and I think about the time David was in the cave at Adullam, and he had his mighty men gathered around him, and he said, "Oh, if I could just have a drink from the well in Bethlehem." You remember that story? I love that story. I really do. He wasn't asking anybody to do it. He wasn't saying, you know, it was like just sitting around. They're all sitting around talking. He said, "Well, I remember when I was a little kid and we'd play a football game." No, we played Philistines versus Israelites or whatever. But we, you know, he said, "I'd get thirsty, and boy, that well at Bethlehem, we'd run over there and we'd get some water from that well." He said, "If I could just have a cup of that water right now." Well, the problem is the Philistines were in control of Bethlehem, and their armies were all around Bethlehem, and they were in Bethlehem, and there were soldiers everywhere around that well. And three men, I love it, they got up, and they said, "The king would like water from Bethlehem." Boy, I love that. I wish we'd be that willing to do whatever God wants us to do. You know, our king. And those three mighty men, they fought through the soldiers at Bethlehem to get a cup of water and bring it back to the king. But I think about them fighting through those soldiers. Can you imagine what that was like? Now, try to imagine. Here, Satan's dominion. There are demons all around. I'm not trying to scare anybody. And by the way, we don't have to be afraid. We are more than conquerors. But they're all around us. And the battle is raging constantly in our lives and around us. And now imagine when the trumpet sounds for the rapture. Just imagine. The devil can't stop it. But I promise you, he's going to try. It'll be war getting us through the dominion of Satan. It is going to be a battle. Now, we'll not experience, I don't believe we'll see anything, know anything about it. But what a battle. I often wonder, you know, Satan, people always say, "Well, he knows he's defeated." Yeah, but the Bible indicates he may know he's defeated, but somehow, some way, he still thinks he can win, because he sure keeps fighting. And I, you know, in my mind, I wonder sometimes that when a Christian dies, you know, death wants to take that that person. Death wants to claim that, and the angels, you know, I think, boy, there could be a battle going on to bring that person to heaven. And again, it's just something we don't see. It's something we don't know a lot about. But I can in my mind, I can imagine the angels clearing the way through Satan's dominion. It's going to be quite a battle when the trumpet sounds. It is war. The trumpet call is a call to battle. For us, it's a call to worship. For us, it's a call to come and gather and assemble and worship our King. For us, it's a call to the Bema seat. For us, it's a call to the marriage supper. For us, it's a call to worship. And so that trumpet sound is an amazing sound. Let's go back to Numbers chapter 10. Numbers chapter 10. What time is it? Oh, ushers, if you will come, we're going to just keep going. I'd like to finish today. Numbers chapter 10 and verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Make thee two trumpets of silver of a whole piece, shalt thou make them, that thou mayest use them for the calling of the assembly. There it is, for the calling, for the journeying of the camp. And when they shall blow with them, all the assembly shall assemble themselves to thee at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And if they blow but with one trumpet, now watch this, one trumpet, then the princes, which are heads of the thousands of Israel, shall gather themselves unto thee. Now, I like that. And again, this is just one of those little nuggets, and you ought to put a little note by that. But how many trumpets are going to sound? Just one trumpet. And what's that do? That assembles the princes, right? You say, well, we're the ones that are assembling. Amen. What's that tell you? We're the princes. Yeah, we're royalty, folks. We're not just, you know, just anybody. We're the princes. We're the leaders. We're the ambassadors. We're the, during the rapture, all believers go to assemble. And all believers are princes in the eyes of God Almighty. And praise the Lord for that. Come up hither is the words that were used that drew John. Think about that. Come up hither. Come up hither. Come away from there. Come up hither. What is the first thing when war is declared by a king or even by a president? What's the first thing they do? Anybody know? I would say it's a political, it's not really a political move, it's a safety move. It has to do with people in the country we've declared war on. Anybody know? Calls the ambassadors and the diplomats home. Gets them out of there. Gets them out of there. I love that. By the way, the Bible says we are ambassadors. What are we doing? We're ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're ambassadors of heaven. We're ambassadors. Trumpet sounds. Come up hither. Get out of there. War. War is imminent. It's going to take place. I looked. I saw a door. I listened, he said. I heard a trumpet. Third thing, I left. And he did. Carol?
Going back just about a minute ago, are not the king's sons called princes?
Yes. Yep. We're princes. It's a blessing. So good. So I left. I went from Patmos to heaven. Sometimes I'm fascinated thinking about the rapture. We kind of understand death, though nobody here has ever done it and come back and told us about it. But we kind of understand that. We've looked at enough bodies in caskets and all that. So we do get some of that. But this rapture thing, but here's, John describes it very well. He says, immediately I was in the Spirit. Come up hither. I'll show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit. I left. Blink. I left. We don't see anything about, a chariot. We don't see anything about, now it could be. We just don't, it doesn't say. It just, immediately I was in the Spirit. And that brings me to number 4, the transporting of the redeemed immediately. The Bible says, at the twinkling of an eye, I was in the Spirit. The Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so, if I'm not in this body, then I am present with the Lord. There is no in between. Okay, so for a man who is about to go to heaven to say, I see Jesus, that shouldn't shock us at all. But I don't know how many people I've been with when they die and just watch, you know, especially when their eyes are open and you can see they're looking at something, someone. And how many times I've watched that smile get on their face, you know? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That is an amazing thing. And when the rapture takes place, it's like the first time I heard about the rapture, of course, I was unsaved, and actually that kind of preaching is why I got saved. But immediately I started thinking about, you know, flying. I don't like to fly. And that was back then. Now I don't mind at all. I just don't want to do stuff my wife wants to do, like jump out of planes. And, you know, I'm always glad when the plane stays together and we don't jump. That's just, I don't understand her thinking. But the idea of flying through the air during the rapture, I'm not so sure it's going to be like that. Now, she thinks, you know, my wife thinks that, oh, that'll be so wonderful, I'm so excited. But anyway, I mean, she likes that kind of stuff. But it's like that. You know, it is like that. And we are with the Lord. And it's interesting, you know, here on this earth, He's with us. We think of it, the Holy Spirit comes and He lives in us, and I'm not trying to downplay that at all, but it's interesting when it talks about being absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and Jesus says, where I am, there ye may be also. There is a difference there, and praise the Lord for the difference, because it's an amazing thing to think, because John is in a whole different place here, you know. And we'll get into that as we start the next lesson. A throne was set in heaven. He's in heaven. And he's there in heaven with the Lord. And now, again, you just try to imagine in your mind what all is going to happen on this earth. What time is it? And I, you know, I have my thoughts. Others have their thoughts. We'll all probably end up being wrong in the end of it, but we can still think. But, you know, to me, there, with all the devices there are on this earth, I think the enemies of America, which, by the way, there are two or three of them, 1,000, they're all over the place. By the way, the enemies are enemies to America. They're enemies to each other. Enemies are all over the place. There's always enemies, and they're wanting to take over, and they have their thoughts and their ways and all that. But anyway, they know what we're doing. We know what they're doing. We have spies. They have spies. We have spies that spy on their spies. They have spies that spy on our spies. Our spies are sometimes their spies, and theirs are ours, and vice versa, and vice versa, and it's, you know, counter spies and under the counter spies and all kinds of spies. And they know what we're doing. We know what they're doing. And we electronically monitor them, and they electronically monitor us. And you can now Google your house at different times, and you can look down. And, you know, I don't know how often they take those pictures, but you can see your house. They have satellites that can see in your house. Scary, isn't it? Actually, it's not. But they're monitoring your cell phone somehow. I'm not sure they can hear what you're saying now, but it wouldn't shock me. I'm not sure they care what we're saying. But they're monitoring each other, and they know. And everything, you know, we have GPS trackers in everything. We don't know if we have them in us yet, but we might, I don't know. But the thing about all that is, when the rapture takes place, America is going to be a total mess. There are more Christians in America than in most countries. Now, when I say more Christians, let me add to that. There are more Christians in key positions in America. And this country is going to be in the state of chaos like it has never seen before, just from the rapture taking place. Not the vials, not the seals being opened, none of it. No, I'm talking about when the rapture takes place, America will be a mess. And I think nuclear weapons will be launched at America because America will be looked on as in trouble. And the people that need to push our buttons, they may be gone in the rapture. And it is why I've said, and I've said this since I was early studying to be a pastor, I just don't see America in the tribulation time being a power. Others do. Others think, you know, they see this and that. And I can't prove this, but I really believe America will be pretty much wiped out right after the rapture. America will not be a force. By the way, America is wiping itself out from within. It may not take a missile to be fired at America. Hello. But it'll be utter chaos on this earth. And the Holy Spirit's influence in believers will be gone. And the lie of the Antichrist, and to me that is one of the most amazing, you know, you want to really study something. What is it that the Antichrist is going to do to explain where we are? Now, you see how things are going politically. You see how things, and honestly, if you don't watch the news, you know, you're probably a happier person, but you are missing a lot of stuff because attitudes toward us have changed drastically in just 5 years, 10 years. It is unbelievable how we now, the right-wing conservatives. Now, who is that? I'm one, I can tell you. Okay, we're on the watch list now. Yeah. Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're on the watch list. There have been several statements by key leaders. We got to watch these right-wing. Okay, this Hutari thing that just took place. Now, I don't go along with it. We have policemen in our church. You know, I don't think you ought to ever think that way. But my point is, you know, that whole thing. I mean, those guys, I mean, they were glorified playing army. And I'm not, again, you know, but they talked. You know, it's amazing what you can talk about and get away with, and you can talk about the same thing but a different group and not get away with it. And I'm telling you, the day is coming where the negativity toward what is politically correct and what is not, you know, depending which side you are, you're going to be targeted. And so will the lie be, you know, the idea of believing that, boy, sure is good. All those people are gone that were a threat to what we're trying to do. And somehow I've got to believe that the world's going to look around and think, I'm sure glad that Dale Bowman's gone. You know, where you work, there's going to be people, you irritate them a little bit because you have your Bible. You get them upset a little bit because you don't fall into the, we have to elect so-and-so because he'll get us more money in our pockets. You know, Glenn, honestly, there's people at where you work that probably, you know, when you're gone, I mean, they might feel bad wondering what happened, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be a better world without him. Radical nut. See? And I in my mind, as I watch all this stuff, I think, how do you explain away all of us? You know, didn't he live there? Yeah, he's not here. Great, let's break in, see if he... No, he was a pastor. He doesn't have anything. You know, our church is... Nobody's driving the buses. Nobody's... What, how do they explain that? But they will. And God sends a delusion, and the whole world will believe it. Whatever the lie is that's told, whatever's said, it'll be believed. I've got a feeling that most of it will be because it's sure good to get those people out of here. I mean, that pastor preached against homosexuality. You know, what is his problem? He preached against, he didn't see why unmarried people couldn't live together. He just didn't, the guy, he's just a nut, you know, and they think we are. I think we're not. By the way, we're going to miss out on all that. We're going to have a good time. Amen. Amen. Father, thank you for the hope of the return of Christ, first in the rapture and second, when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords on this earth. I thank you that I'm on the right side, the winning side. What a blessing it is to know that. Please bless now our morning service. Please speak to our hearts. Father, save anyone who's not saved and just work in our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.